Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is produced by Mecco Radio.
At the very end, asking them to all raise their hand, and it's just kind of saying, hey, who's going to do this, right? Who's going to lead to this commitment? Who's going to follow through? And every single one of them raised their hand. The motivation was at its peak. And then I heard a hallelujah in the background, and everyone started to laugh. There was that general capstone of this great feeling. And then came back to the directors to kind of go do an assessment with them. And as I went through the assessment, it became very clear nothing had changed.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Andrew Webb. Now, this guy is amazing. He's the host of the incredible podcast, Microbehaviors, which I've linked down in the show notes, where using history, he explores the small things that make up our decisions and, well, I guess our behaviors. He also works at Stanford's Behavior Design Lab and co-created the Behavior Change Achievement Test. Despite all this experience with behavior, he also failed to motivate the crowd in front of him to make actual change. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I'd like to invite you to leave us a review and share this episode with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. We are really trying to push the show and get it out to as many listeners as possible to share the message of we all fail, we all make mistakes, and it's normal, and it's important to talk about it and learn from it. We want to see the show get to 10,000 downloads an episode before the end of the year. Let's see if we can do it. Thanks for your help. Enjoy the show. Andrew Webb, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
I think so.
Okay, let's get into it then. You had this kind of prophetic, amazing, beautiful preaching experience almost, where you inspired a whole group to hopefully go out and change their lives. And then you do a follow-up meeting and it's just nothing. Lead us into this experience and just walk us through the story here.
Sure. And I love the word you used, prophetic, because that's what I felt like. My background is in training and development. And I was working with about 150 to 200 teachers, I think it was about 8 years ago around in Florida. And I was really excited because this was stuff that I loved talking about. It was content around how to use your strengths in a business setting or with a classroom. And so it really is a great approach to development and leadership. And for these teachers, it also creates what they call positive action tendencies. There's just an energy about it. So people, it's palpable. They feel it. And you're in this room with these 200 teachers, and they're so passionate about helping their students. And so that adds to the goodwill and the general feeling. And as we're talking about all of these, I see people who are getting even emotional at times. And I've said, I just felt like this power was building and building in the room. And I thought, this is the best training session I've ever given. I felt pretty high on myself. I felt pretty confident in the content. There were a few tears in the background. I thought, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to Tony Robbins. And I thought this along the way, I'm doing a pretty darn good job. I felt like I was a prophet, like Moses leading them to the promised land. We even talked about the commitments they'd make. You know, they had accountability partners on things they were going to do differently, going back into their classrooms. And I was so excited about what was happening and that I could do this for them. That's how I felt. And it's embarrassing to even think about as I talk through it now. It turns out after we went through it, I remember at the very end asking them to all raise their hand. And it's just kind of saying, hey, who's going to do this, right? Who's going to lead to this commitment? Who's going to follow through? And of course, every single one of them raised their hand. The motivation was at its peak. And then I heard a hallelujah in the background and everyone started to laugh. There was that general capstone of this great feeling. Well, after every educational intervention, you have to do a postmortem or you have to go and identify what's worked, what didn't work. What were the actual results? What was the outcome, right? So I spent a couple of weeks and then came back to the directors to kind of go do an assessment with them. And as I went through the assessment, it became very clear nothing had changed. they had in their minds and hearts been so excited to do it. And I was so disappointed when I found out after all of that jubilation, motivation, energy, will to change, it was embarrassing for me to stand there and talk to these people and know that they hadn't done it at all. And even worse, their previous habits that we were so anxious about changing, they were even more predominant in their setting. And that's when, if you want to talk about a broken bulb, Alex, that's when I almost broke professionally. Because I had been doing this kind of work for years as a facilitator. And it hit me in a way that I can only relate as just being a watershed moment for me in my career. And I realized something had to change. Something I was doing wasn't working. I needed to change this approach. And from there, I shifted. And I began to really invest in the habit research, in behavioral science, and especially behavior design.
What things did you discover actually helped people as you started to invest more in the research and design?
Oh, my goodness. And I think that's a wonderful question. And it's we're still learning, right? Ever since the fMRI machine became a tinker toy, a toy for psychologists, it's amazing how much we've learned about behavior. I would say this at the top. Number one is information does not change behavior. I can teach and tell you as much as I want. And in fact, we do that all the time. Campaign after campaign, public awareness campaigns, or teaching us about health and wellness. We all know we're not supposed to eat fatty foods, but here I am. I'm still going to McDonald's half the time, right? Information alone will not change behavior. So I had to learn that pretty quickly because I think I was too reliant on it. And then the second thing is that motivation wanes. It's kind of like a wave. It goes up and down. And if you rely on motivation, like that one person in the background screaming, hallelujah, that's not going to work because we have to design change for behavior. I won't say for our worst selves, but our least able selves. And so in the moment, when these teachers are learning about their strengths and how to use them and how they could change the way they approach their students, it feels good. And so often those feelings belie what it's going to be like when they go back to that classroom, when they're stressed because one of their students comes in and tells them they're pregnant and they have to deal with that, right? Or they have to deal with the stresses of finding a new classroom system or how to teach a different concept. And all of a sudden, these stresses force our habits back to the easiest, most simple approach. And in knowing how indomitable and intractable these habits are, we're foolish to think that we're just going to just by telling us that's what you got to do, go change it, it's going to happen.
What's something simple that I can do to actually make those changes in my behavior?
Well, this comes from some of the concepts that we've been doing at the Behavior Design Lab at Stanford. And if you know, there's a great professor by the name of BJ Fogg, who's ultimately the father of behavior design, I would say. And there are three elements that you need to understand about behavior. So a behavior happens when the motivation, the ability, and a prompt all come together at the same moment. That's when you know a behavior is going to happen. Most often, when we desire to go and change the way we eat or go to exercise, we assume that we start with motivation. I want to do it. We're going to do it. Let's go do it. The truth is we should start with prompts and our environment. What is the trigger in our life that's going to prompt me to a new behavior? So for somebody who, for example, wants to start exercising a little bit better, the best prompts are usually the habits that already exist in their life. And let's say it's brushing your teeth at night. They want to go exercise too, so that's great. But brushing your teeth at night is a great trigger for you to do one, and this is the next step, small action. You're hoping to go to the gym tomorrow. Okay, you might. But if you haven't been going to the gym for the last 8 years, the likelihood of you doing it at 4:30 a.m. is pretty low. So let's scale the behavior back. And after you brush the teeth, let's say you just get out your gym shoes. That's it. Leave it there. Celebrate it if you do it. scale the behavior back in a way that after I brush my teeth, there's the trigger, I'm going to scale behavior back. I'm going to just get out my gym shoes and do that for a couple nights. Now, will you do more? Probably. And that's a good thing. But even if you don't, you know that you've done something that is so simple, it's worth celebrating. Because that's how change takes place. Here's the way Samuel Clemens or Mark Twain said it. Habit is habit and should be flung out the window by no man, but coaxed downstairs a step at a time. And I think those are the things I had to learn about how to change habits and change behavior versus what I was trying to do with those teachers.
Man, I would love to just do a whole like long extended super episode on this idea. But of course, that's more your realm of things. So at the end of every single episode, I like to ask what is working for you now and where can people follow you and keep up with the work you're doing?
Yeah, I love it. Thanks for asking. So I've taken a lot of the research we've done at the lab at Stanford. And in the last year, I started a podcast called Microbehaviors. And Microbehaviors is pretty fun because I don't just go straight into the science. I tell stories from the past to help you understand and apply this behavioral research. So we have actors that come in. We talk about some of the most outlandish, crazy stories that actually help you understand some of this deep research about why you're doing the way you're doing these certain things. And then, of course, because a podcast is called Microbehaviors, I just give you, given what we just learned, one small action that you can do to start that change. And each episode, we focus on a number of different pieces of research. And of course, the stories are so fun. I think that's what everyone loves, to be honest, because it feels so much more relatable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I highly encourage everybody to check it out. I think this idea of microbehaviors, of these small changes that we can make, that is how we're going to be able to keep pushing into the future and become better people. So with that, I just want to say a huge thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much. It's been a treat.
And thank you for listening. Information does not change behavior. You can listen to every single episode of Broken Bulbs, but that won't make you change. We highly recommend listening to every episode, by the way, but it's not guaranteed to make you change. That's something you have to do on your own. One of the ways you can make those changes happen is by designing your habits around the change you want to see, specifically around your worst self. Make it easy to create good habits and do little things to get started. Special thank you to Andrew Webb for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. And be sure to check out his work, especially his podcast, Microbehaviors. Seriously, I can't recommend it enough. It's linked down in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and share the show with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. We really want your help this year getting to that 10,000 download goal. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Fine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.